Hello and welcome to the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference Sports Analytics Podcast. I'm Scott Tappa, Director of the Conference, and I'd like to invite you to attend our event June 21st at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. We have a fantastic speaker lineup taking shape. Please visit www.uwsp.edu/analyticsconference to learn more. Today I'm speaking with one of our presenters, Ben Hansen. Ben is Chief Technology Officer at Modus Global. And at the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference, Ben will deliver a talk titled Optimizing Pitcher Readiness with Machine Learning and Wearable Technology. Ben, welcome.
Hey, Scott.
All right. Well, thanks for taking the time this afternoon. Why don't we just get started with a general question like I start with most of my guests. Tell me a little bit about your background. How did you end up being involved in biomechanics and wearable tech?
Certainly, yeah. So for me, biomechanics started back in college. So I was doing my bachelor's in biomedical engineering at MSOE. And also had the chance to play baseball there. And naturally, as any engineer, any athlete at all, start to think about connections between human body and your sport and how you move. But for me, there was always a large disconnect between what you were coached to do and what you really needed to do. And I felt I needed some sort of mechanical approach to the aspect of being an athlete. So in my junior year, I think I really started getting into peer-reviewed journal articles and kept coming across one researcher in particular who'd been pumping out a ton of research to these questions of baseball and biomechanics. That was Dr. Glenn Fleissig out of ASMI. And from there, you know, I reached out to him and he pointed me to a lot of people doing similar work in the space. And one just down the street, Dr. Jason Long, who was running the biomechanics lab for the Milwaukee Brewers. And I was fortunate enough to get introduced to him and start an internship there and get access to brilliant minds and tools to really start learning biomechanics and apply it to my body and my training and even my team, my teammates. But the more I learned, the more questions I began to have. And you know, at the Brewers, they were focused on one thing in particular. They wanted to measure the stress and torque on the elbows and shoulders of all their pitchers and all the pitchers they drafted. And that concept just drove me wild. At the thought of measuring that, like how do you begin to answer that question? So in order to stay with that biomechanics lab, I needed to enroll in graduate school. And I applied to Marquette and was accepted to their PhD program and continued that process of just learning more about the body and mechanics and engineering. And Dr. Jason Long, the guy who was running the lab again at the Brewers, ended up leaving to Cincinnati Children's Medical Center and gave me the opportunity to really step up at the lab with data collection and analysis. And so kind of getting into my journey here, but you know, took that summer off in graduate school and went back to Dr. Fleissig, who had introduced me to Dr. Long, and we really got into learning more about the body. And we met these two guys who were starting this company called Modus, Joel Nolan and Keith Robinson, and they were down at ASMI starting a partnership with them to shoot all of their motion capture data for an MLB study, and wanted to find someone to come down and start their mobile lab at IMG Academy, and that's where I started my journey in the professional world outside of academics, and really just as a lab tech for Modus and as their first employee.
Okay, great. That's a lot to take in and covered a lot of ground that I was hoping to get a little bit deeper into. And going back to the start, for those of you who aren't familiar, MSOE, Milwaukee School of Engineering, here in Wisconsin, Division III college, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, for athletics anyway. Did you ever play UW-Stevens Point, just out of curiosity?
No, you know, we never got the chance to.
Oh, all right. Well, that's fine. No big deal. We've got a good, pretty good baseball program here too. But just going back to, you know, how you would have been influenced by your own playing career. I mean, was it a deal where you would wonder why your arm would get sore, while your shoulder would get sore, why different recovery periods were different, or why your soreness or arm health was somehow different from your a teammate who had a similar workload? I mean, was that all percolating around in your head at that time? And then second to that, once you did start learning about that and you shared it with their teammates, tell me a little bit more about what their reactions were.
Yeah, that's great. You know, certainly that the question of why do I get hurt? I was plagued with injuries through college. You know, what caused the injury? Was it mechanical? Was it, you know, workloads? I thought, you know, early on it was just mechanical. And I think that definitely helped me a lot, you know, getting into proper shoulder mechanics at foot contact or having an efficient kinetic chain. Those things definitely helped me out as a pitcher and prolonged my arm health. But injuries still kept popping up. And then this other question came up, well, why do I pitch good some days? Why do I pitch like crap the other days? Like, I feel like I'm doing the same thing, but something's different. So that led into more workload analytic based questions, which we're still answering a lot of those today. But yeah, the teammates was interesting. You know, a lot of those guys as well are all engineers at an engineering school like that. It's great to have data on yourself. And, you know, I think it helped the program that year, definitely.
Yeah, definitely a unique team of players when they're all engineers at an engineering school. Let me ask you this then. What did you ever have like a major injury that sidelined you for a while, or was what you were measuring just end up being normal, yet just what would be considered normal soreness from, you know, from being a pitcher? And if so, you know, how did your coaches or your athletic trainers take it? I mean, was it a brand new approach to measuring those things, or you know, were they somehow resistant to it? Were they embracing of it? Things of that nature.
Yeah, well, at the time, you know, in college, we really just had access to that one-time measurement. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, there's not a lot you can do with the one-time screen to predict why you're going to get hurt. There's a couple things with mechanics, but it's really much more about that workload. So, yeah, I did have an injury. I had a partially torn UCL after my freshman year, and it was dull. I went back to my high school, and I threw 15 straight outs. And it was just within that one day, I had such a massive acute workload that my forearm muscles were fatigued and everything was being loaded off to that UCL. And man, that was a rough recovery. And then there was obviously like little tiny ones and impingements and things throughout the years that were able to be cleaned up a little bit. But yeah, that one still plagues me today. What caused that injury within that single day? I definitely did some damage there. But yeah, again, back to the school, it was really just that one-time assessment. So we didn't have wearable technology and workload analytic toolkits to really answer those questions.
Okay. So go in a little bit more depth about what you did with the Brewers and who you were working with there and maybe what the players thought of it. What the trainers and the coaches and the manager would have thought of the work that you were a part of there.
Yeah, that was a fun experience. So the effort was really led by the team physician, Dr. Rosh. And every spring and fall, they would bring the lab that was in Milwaukee down to the Maryvale in the spring training site. And we would test all the new draft picks in the first and second year guys. And then once in a while, you'd get some of the 40-man guys to come over. I think they got Yovani Garda 1 year and Grinke. And, so that was always fun. Yeah, so we would test pitchers, and we would get their stress levels on their elbows and their shoulders, and we started exploring other metrics on just how the body moves, so kinematics or angles of their shoulders and trunk throughout the pitching delivery. But their main driving force was, let's measure the stress levels of these athletes and bend people into at risk for injury or not at risk for injury.
Okay. So do you remember off the top of your head if any of the guys that were at risk for injury ended up becoming injured relatively soon after that? I mean, did those predictors sort of bear out in with some of these guys?
Yeah. Right. So I think it's grown so much since then. If I look back at getting a single measurement, I don't think there's much you can do with that. I think there's so much more that is playing a part of injury risk, and it's based on your regimen, your workloads, the throws you make, not just in games, but between innings and the warmups and throughout the week. And we are seeing that mechanical indicators of injury risk are much smaller than the whole pie, the workloads in game, in the week, in the weight room. So, were there some correlations? I think so. But I think the industry's grown so much more since those early days.
Okay. All right. So give us a general overview of Modus and what products and services you guys provide and where you're developing into and hoping to go.
Yeah. So we are a biomechanics software and a wearable technology company. We started mostly in around 2012 with just the lab building physics engines, databases, working with athletes and their training staff to give individualized training regimens. So that was the goal, is let's assess someone, give them a program that's tailored to their needs, and then let's find a way to bring it to the masses. And early on as a company, we were going to go the Microsoft Kinect route, where you have just a 3D scanning camera that could do some of the same things in our lab, but we didn't like the latency and the frame rate and the resolution of those systems. And in around 2013, wearables was becoming this big hype. And so we started developing some wearable technologies, and in 2014 launched a product for our current MLB clients. It was called M-Throw. It was a smart compression sleeve that had a little IMU in it that measured the stress of every throw you made. And that was the first ever wearable tech approved by MLB for in-game use starting in 2015. And since, you know, we've collected millions of throws over three generations of hardware, and have developed some incredibly powerful software tools to go along with it. And so that's how Modus started and kind of our first dip into the industry. Now it's transitioned into a couple of forks. One is just taking what we've learned in baseball and applying it to other overhand sports like quarterbacks, cricket, volleyball, and then also getting into some new industries. So we're pretty excited to take our sensors for home healthcare, physical therapy, and workplace safety. And I believe that those verticals are going to be much more a piece of our revenue pie than sports, although sports was first and always the sexiest.
Yeah, no doubt. That seems like a great way to go with that. Much larger potential market size there, I'm sure. But going back to 2015, when Major League Baseball approved your product for in-game usage, again, you look back 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago, and wearable tech wasn't quite as ubiquitous as it is now. What was the reaction of and I keep asking this question, but it, I think it's a relevant one. What was the reaction of players and coaches and trainers when you came to them with this sleeve and asked them to wear it and told them about the information that you could gather from that and what kind of findings you could have? Was there skepticism? Was there just really eager acceptance of it? I'm sure there's a little bit of both, but what were some of the reactions you got?
Well, it certainly changed. It's a very dynamic story there. But when it first came out, I mean, we were working with the teams already in a lab setting. So we would take our system to their shooting training sites, test their pitchers. And they said, this is great, but we need something on the field. You know, we have to get them all dotted up in a controlled environment. Is there anything you guys have? And so when we came out with a wearable that allowed you to get these stress measurements on a mound, I mean, the hype was incredible. Every team reached out. That first year we had incredible adoption. I think 27 of the 30 teams bought a significant amount of sleeves.
Huh.
And then I think the privacy concerns started. So no one really knew what they were getting at when we started with one measurement, but now we're starting to get daily measurements of everything you do. And other types of wearables start popping up, like sleep monitors, heart rate monitors. And now we've come to a point where I think we're starting to get away from some of the skepticism. But early on, it was, again, a lot of hype, a lot of excitement. And, yeah, we can kind of get into more of that as we go through here.
Sure. So you talk about how it's used mostly for the overhead throws, correct? Maybe this is a naive question, but could you somehow use your technology to measure knee strength or the stress on other joints or other muscles in other areas that can be problematic for an athlete? You know, I think of, you know, women's basketball players tend to tear their ACL more. I mean, is there a way that you could have a knee product that would monitor the stress on those ligaments in there? Or am I way off base on that?
Oh, I think you must have seen our product roadmap. So
oh.
That's certainly in the pipeline and top of mind. We think ACLs is going to be the biggest market in sports. Women's soccer, basketball, volleyball, top of mind. So our first step is with the Modus V volleyball system. There's a sensor on the arm for swing workloads and a sensor on the hips. It's a clip on the belt for measuring jump workloads and workloads essentially on the lower extremity. And when we have some of our tools that we've used for overhands just on the jumps, that's going to be a big step in the right direction. But one thing we didn't talk much about is some things in like the home healthcare market, where we're developing sensors on the lower extremities as well as with movement screens. So right now there's a lot of standards out there for an ACL return to play program. And you go through things like a drop jump, a triple jump, cutting, and various other strength movements, but it's all done subjectively with the eye. And so we're going to be able to use our sensors from the screening perspective to measure things like valgus angle during a drop jump or the reactive strength index during the drop jump, or cutting mechanics and things of that nature. And then applying the workload algorithms to something as simple as a step count, I think is going to be a really big advancement. And then maybe even some forces of that step or forces on the shin or the thigh. So certainly we believe that's where it's going to go. You know, there's obviously limitations with hardware and battery life and user experience that we're always overcoming, but that's top of mind.
Okay. You know, has there been, and I have sort of asked this question before, but this is asking in a different way, but has there been any pushback from athletes about using this from the perspective of, you know, if I'm a pitcher and your product somehow reveals that that my arm is at a greater chance of injury risk, and that could potentially be used against me in a contract negotiation or something like that. And I think I've read about various privacy concerns about data collection in athletics. So for all the positive uses of it, there is a fear that doesn't seem to be completely unfounded that any, you know, negative data collected could be used against the athlete or to build the case to for management to pay somebody less. Have you encountered those objections at all? And if so, you know, how would you respond to those?
Yeah, all the time, Scott, all the time. But I think right now it's due to a lack of understanding of the data. And I believe that, you know, if you're collecting data that's truly violating your privacy, then no way do I think that player should give it to their employer or myself. I wouldn't want to give private information to my employer. But, you know, if you're paying Matt Harvey $5 million a year and you want to track his sleep and monitor if he's attending parties out in LA, yeah, or performing pitches, you know, I think there's an argument both ways. So it does become a slippery slope. You know, what rights the data are going to the player or to the team, union. And but either way, you know, early on in today, people think we're diving into their forearm with nanobots and measuring the quality of their ligament. And that's just not true. So that's why I'm saying it's a lack of understanding of the data. What we do is we measure the workload on your elbow over the scale of weeks and months and give you an injury risk that day. So if your workloads have spiked over the last week, we say today your risk of injury has gone up. But again, that's just to be used to dial up or dial down your workloads and get back into the safe ranges. By the time arbitration hits, those risky periods have gone and come and gone.
Sure.
So it really can't be used in arbitration. But that said, it is. So there are a lot of teams that don't, even teams themselves that haven't understood the data, that you see it coming up in arbitration and trying to be used against a player for their contract negotiations. And so, you know, what's kind of popped up is this arms race between the MLB Players Association and the MLB teams themselves. And right now it's very one-sided. The teams have all the data, particularly at the minor league level and major league level. Then you see a lot of the MLB guys pushing back, and the union really wants to make it, you know, an even battle. But that's still, to me, just kind of sad, because I think, again, it's not data that's going to predict an injury from a one-time assessment. It's a tool to guide you here in the moment right now. And so as you know, people become more aware of how to use it, you'll see more adoption. In fact, we already are. So this year alone, you know, over the last 18 months, I would say, we've had a lot more 40-man guys wear the technology. Traditionally, it's really been minor league teams. So they'll put it every farm system and every pitcher and monitor these workloads. And over, like I said, last 18 months, we get a lot of rehab guys. So guys that are coming back from Tommy John that are on the 40-man roster will wear it because they're strictly monitoring that workload. You have to. If you go too fast during rehab, you're going to blow out again. And then so what we've seen is that story is now spreading to other 40-man guys who are using it as a prevention tool. Not just let me come back from rehab, but let me stay ahead of this. And for these people that are using it the intended way, or really the only way, there's no concerns with data and ownership.
That's a great explanation. Makes all the sense in the world to me. That's a very good explanation. So looking at the title of your talk for our conference, Optimizing Pitcher Readiness with Machine Learning and Wearable Technology, how does machine learning factor into what you guys are doing? And can you give me a little bit of better sense for that?
Yeah, definitely. So there's going to be two examples that we're going to go over at the conference. One's going to be a tool we have in production right now. It runs on our servers, and it really just measures acute and chronic workloads and your chronic workload levels, and programs out 30 days of throw counts to get back into these safe zones that we've identified. So that's a control theory algorithm. So we can think of it like a thermostat. So if your long-term average workloads are low, The algorithm works to slowly build you back up to a set point. Or if it's too high, we slowly bring you back down to that set point that we know is normal. And then if there's ever these aberrations in the season, big acute spikes, which really occur preseason and after all-star breaks or for relievers, that happen all the time. And it makes recommendations and adjusts to you on the fly as you throw with it. So that'll be one we'll talk about. And we'll talk about how that also relates to the biochemistry of fatigue in a pitcher and why we measure a 28-day chronic load and a 7-day acute workload and things of that nature. And that'll be exciting. So that's purely injury risk.
Okay. Great. So Ben, what kind of advice would you have to a student who may find themselves in a position like you were as an undergrad, just really interested in this subject and would like to make a career out of it? Your path is one. How replicable is your path? And if not exactly, what other sorts of steps would you suggest somebody take?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I think I had a lot of luck and opportunity with meeting Dr. Long and Dr. Fleissig and having availabilities at the right time. So I don't know how reproducible those are by chance, but I think you can get ahead a lot in this industry by building more communication and design skills. And that's something I wish I had more of. I think a lot of everybody thinks they have the best idea out there, but very few can communicate it effectively and rally people around them to make change or develop something. And it's great if you have a nice stat that you made, but if you can't visualize it or explain it, you're gonna fail. And so that's my big advice to any students that are still out there that have classes to schedule up still. Focus on the communication design classes. I wish I could have taken more of them.
And that's great advice. It's maybe not surprising how often I hear that that theme come up when I interview speakers for our conference, just the importance of communication. Because, honestly, I mean, these are difficult, tricky topics, and your findings are very dense, and it could be really easy for the intended subject and the intended recipient of that information to just completely not understand it or misunderstand it, and the ability to convey findings correctly is just so important. So that's great advice. Hey, Ben, what's something that you would suggest our listeners read? And it could be on the subject that you work in, day out. It could be something completely different, but we're just looking for reading suggestions for our listeners.
Well, this one might be a little different, but one thing I always keep a good tabs on is the FCC website.
Huh, okay.
Always have, get a little pulse on the market of what's coming out next for devices. Look at other companies that are currently in space, new ones that you hear little tweets about. And yeah, I think for any students as well, they're looking for jobs. If you find some new emerging hardware, it's a good site to just keep in your back pocket.
So what exactly does I'll be honest, I've never gone to it before. What does the FCC website put out that's compelling?
So anytime you make a new piece of hardware and you want to market it in America, you have to get it registered by the FCC, because most all the devices emit Bluetooth if there's some sort of Wi-Fi signal. And it's just something you have to do if you make a product. So you have to register it before you start selling it. And usually you have to do that months in advance. So oftentimes you'll see a lot of companies make their FCC filings before the press releases, before you can buy the product.
Huh. So I just typed in FCC.gov. Right, that's what we're talking about, I take it, right?
Yeah.
Where do I look at on the site then to find what you're talking about?
So you can search by company. So you can type in Modus Global, for instance, and you can see our FCC filing, I want to say, in like February of...
Okay. That's really interesting. I like the offbeat suggestions here, the ones that nobody else has come up with, so I appreciate that. Ben, where can we find out more about Modus and yourself online or on social media?
Yeah, we're at modusglobal.com. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, post a lot of good stuff on Instagram, and I'm on Twitter as well, so you can find me there.
Okay, great. Well, what's your Twitter handle?
Ben Hansen something, I don't even know. Like, there's so
nine?
Many.
I want to say it's Ben Hansen 9.
There you go, Ben Hansen 9. All right.
Okay. Hey, again, my guest today has been Ben Hansen of Modus Global, and at the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference, Ben will deliver a talk titled Optimizing Pitcher Readiness with Machine Learning and Wearable Technology. Ben, thanks for taking the time to speak with me today.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. See you soon.
See you soon too. And thank you for listening. The Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference will be Thursday, June 21st at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. Visit www.uwsp.edu/analyticsconference for details, and make sure to follow us on Facebook and on Twitter at @analyticsconf. Thanks for listening.